Thank you. So the time is now 5:01 and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee is open. Of course, this never fails. As soon as we get started, my secondary computer reboots. No sooner we get started, it reboots. We'll be going in here in 2 seconds. Sorry about that. Okay. If I may have an acceptance for the minutes for the January 19th meeting, motion for the acceptance of the minutes of the January 19th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all. Okay. First item is bid 2022-316 redistricting services. Who's here to present for that? Is that you, Neil? Or is that Carrie? Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. You have the floor.
I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Carrie Natalillo, the Director of Elections. I'm coming before you this evening to ask for spending authority for the budget amount of $80,000, which was put into the budget by my predecessor. I've gone back and tried to do as much research as this will be my first time doing redistricting. I found that back in 2012, the city did spend a total of $62,287. The Rhode Island Joint Committee on Legislative Services has contracted with Election Data Services, or EDS as it's called, to conduct the necessary redistricting system and support services to accomplish this project. The City of Warwick and the Board of Canvassers would like to piggyback this agreement to ensure an accurate and timely confirmation with the state senatorial and representative districts at the local ward level. I'm asking you for a cap of $80,000. These funds would be coming out of 17-308.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from members of the committee on bid 2022-316? Nope.
Not for me, Chairman. Nope. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Are there any questions from members of the council? Council President McAllister.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to mention that the group that we are using is the same group that the state uses. So it's the one that did the maps that the State House is looking at. So it's all consistent. It's all the same people. So that's why we went with this. With this group, and as the director mentioned, that this is in the budget. They knew that this was coming up, so Dottie put it in her budget last year. So it is for spending authority. It's the same group that's done the maps statewide, the same experts, so they'll have the expertise to walk us through this. So just want to make that comment.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Carrie, this is required every 10 years by the federal, state, and municipalities.
Yes, correct. So the last one was in 2012.
Thank you so much. Councilman Ed Lattiser.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, the question I have is in the second paragraph, it says, this is in your position paper, it says the city has to go through this process every 10 years after the census is completed. So I assume that the census has been completed?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any idea when that was completed?
I believe it was later. It's normally supposed to be done, I believe, by September. I think it was more October, November by the time it was completed because of COVID.
Okay. But we can all be confident in knowing that it has been completed.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. That's all I have, Chairman. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Carrie. Are there any other questions from members of the council? Any other questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? I'm switching over now. Any questions from members of the public? Seeing none, we'll move on. I just want to verify. I know we have the amended. There's no other item that exceeds the 50,000 discussion rate, correct? Thank you, Mrs. Nardalillo.
Thank you.
Okay, so I will now seek from the members of the committee, then to members of council, and then from the general public on items in the bid package that are below the $50,000 threshold that they would like to have open in discussion in this committee. First, I will begin with members of the committee. Are there any items on the bid package you would like to speak? Councilman Gebhardt. Thank you, Councilman Fuller.
Sorry, I was actually just asking for a minute. I just need to pull up my list here.
Take all the time you need, sir.
Thank you. If somebody else has one, they can go first.
Okay. And in the meantime, before I go on to the committee, I do want to remind everyone that this evening at 7 o'clock, we will be discussing the school fiscal note application. This evening at 7 o'clock is when we will discuss at the opening of the council meeting is when the discussion will happen on the school application request. Members of the council, are there any items you would like to discuss in the bid package for members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Item 2022-318 found on page 6.
That is bid number 3, bid 2022-318, uniform badge and number boards?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Item number 6 found on page 48 is 2021-240B.
All right. I'm just going to, just so we're on the same page, Councilman. Item number 6, 2021-240 Bravo. That is the City of Warwick, District 6, gasoline, low sulfur diesel, and ultra low sulfur diesel fuel.
Yes, 2021-240B. That's correct.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Are there any other?
No, oh, I sorry. Have all. That's okay. Thank you. Item number 9, 2022-322. Rescue 14, found on page 62.
Okay, thank you.
Number 10, 2022-314, State of Rhode Island Electrical Services, found on page 66. Item number 11, 2022-291A. Found on page 69, overhead door repair and replacement. Item number 15, 2021-134, heating oil, found on page 82. And my last one, number item 18, 2022-320, Gatsby 75 and OPEB, found on page 100.
Okay, so just to clarify for you, Councilman Lattisor, you'd like to discuss item number 3, item number 6, item number 9, 10, 11, 15, and 18 from the bid package.
That's correct, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Gebhardt.
That is inclusive of the ones that I had marked as well. So
we're good. And which ones would you, were there any specific ones or was that pretty much all of them?
There was overlap, but
okay,
I'm good with what he's done.
All right, thank you. Are there any other members of the council that would like to discuss anything from the bid package? Any item from the bid package? Are there any members of the public that would like to discuss anything from the bid package? Any members from the public that would like to discuss any items in the bid package? Okay, thank you, Councilman Lattisor. We'll just go in order, we'll start with number 3. Item number 3, that is bid 2022-318. Give me one moment, please.
Sure.
Thank you. That is found on page, item number 3 is found on page 6, and it goes to page 42, uniform badge number boards. And I see Major Lima is ready. Go ahead, Major Lima.
I'm waiting for the councilman. He's...
Oh, I apologize. I didn't know if you had a, you wanted to, Councilman Lattisor, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Major. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you, Major. So I see the low bid from Bonnie's Uniform for a total of $11,900. So my question is, why are you looking for $14,611?
Well, so this didn't go out to bid. This was a 56-6 that we put out because it was an alteration to our uniform. And right now, Barney's uniform has that current bid. What we did is we went to a couple of other vendors just to make sure that that price was fair for us and for the city, which it was. Obviously, it was a couple thousand dollars less than the other two vendors that we went to. The reason why we're looking for the whole amount is because we're still going to basically preload these badge number boards for future officers that are coming in. That way we'll still have the officers right now having the boards, and then we should probably still get another maybe 20 more numbers made up. So when we have more officers getting out of the academy, we have three, and now we're anticipating on sending hopefully maybe another 8 or 10 or so to the next academy. They'll already have their badge number board here when they join us, as opposed to when we used to have to order this stuff, you know, once they got hired.
So this award, excuse me, the amount of $14,611, is that something that can only be used for this particular purpose?
So yes, so right now this grant is written up in a manner to utilize it just for the badge boards, correct?
And how many new officers do you intend, or do you anticipate being added to the police department, and over what time period?
I mean, that I can't give you an accurate number. I know right now we're down probably about 10 officers that we're looking to hire. So with retirements, that number is always changing, but right now we're right around the 10 number.
Okay. But again, just for clarification, that roughly 32,600, whatever it is, that's going to remain in that account, can only be used for the badge boards.
100% correct. Yep.
Okay. In your position, well, it's not actually your position. It's from the Department of Justice. They state that if you are a recipient of grant awards under the Omnibus Crime Control Safety Sheet, blah, 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 and your agency is part of a criminal justice system, there are two additional obligations that may apply in connection with the awards. Those two obligations that they're referring to, does that impact our department? And if so, have those two additional obligations been completed?
I don't know which two you're referring to, but if we were able to apply for this grant and we were awarded this grant, then yes, we've complied with what the grant criteria is.
Okay, just to be sure on it, one of them is complying with the regulation relating to the Equal Opportunity Employment Equal Opportunities Program, and two, submitting findings of discrimination to OCR. So both of those items have been completed.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Give me 1 minute. That's all I have on that one, Chairman. Thank you, Major.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Were there any follow-up questions for members of the committee? Any questions for members of the committee on bid 2022-318? Thank you. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Well done, Major. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
The next item that requested by Councilman Lattiser is item number 6 in the docket. It is bid 2021-240B that is found on page 48. It is the City of Warwick District 6 gasoline, low sulfur diesel, and ultra low sulfur diesel fuel. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Hello, Chief. How are you?
Good evening, Councilman.
Right. So I'm reading your position paper here. You speak about the cost of diesel fuel increasing from what it was, just over $2 per gallon, to over $3.50 a gallon. Those two prices that you are identifying here, are those the wholesale prices that we pay, or are those the prices that we pay on the street?
So that's the prices that we pay per the bid, which is the rack price that they pay at the Port of Providence, plus the increment that the company, the vendor, adds to that, and that's part of what the bid is, and then includes all the taxes and all the other fees that are associated with diesel fuel. So that's our final price.
And what is the wholesale price of diesel fuel? Because diesel fuel, I think, is what your department uses the most of, right? Is diesel fuel?
All right, that's correct. We use diesel fuel only here. The gasoline we actually get back charged through the police department for.
Okay. And what's the wholesale price on diesel fuel today?
Give me 1 second. I'm looking that up for you. So the on our last delivery, the price per gallon was $2.94.25 per gallon, which after taxes comes out to about $3.56 a gallon.
After taxes?
After fuel tax and fees, yep.
Okay. And how much fuel, diesel fuel, do you have left in the tanks as of today?
I'm unaware of what's left in the tanks as of today. What we're looking at is just to get enough fuel that we can estimate that we're going to need until the bid expires, which is like the first week of April. We're actually coming to you the next council meeting for the renewal of that bid.
No, I understand that. I understand that the bid expires April 9th, 2022. But wouldn't you need to know how much fuel you have on hand now in order to predetermine how much fuel you'll need to get through the next 6 weeks?
I just used an average monthly fuel that we've done over the last couple of years and over the last 7 months, more specifically, how much fuel we've used per month. And I just estimated what the next 2 months would cost us. It's just a spending authority. It's not the budget.
I understand. But in order to predetermine how much additional fuel you're going to need, you would need to know how much fuel you have in the tanks now. So if you project you're going to need 1,000 gallons of fuel between now and April 9th, and you've got 1,000 gallons in your tank now, then that's pretty much a wash. So that's why I'm asking how much fuel, and this is a question I ask every time this fuel comes up. So it's nothing new. That's why I'm asking now, how much fuel do you have? I think your tank holds 10,000 gallons of fuel, or 7,000, something like that.
No, we've got several 1,000 gallon tanks around the city. We don't have a 10,000 gallon tank. We got 1,000 gallon tanks. So each of them has less than 1,000 gallons of fuel in each tank, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to determine, to use that as a determination as to how much fuel we're gonna use, because some of the tanks are used very heavily, like Station 9 near CCRI gets heavily used by the rescues at Kent, and other ones don't get used much at all, like the tank down in Potawatomi. So what fuel's left in them isn't really a good judge of how much fuel we're going through. It's more of how much fuel weekly do we get delivered. And that runs pretty consistently throughout the year. How much fuel delivery we get per week.
How much fuel do you get delivered per week? I can't hear you, Chief. You're muted. Chief, you're muted. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, sorry. I got bumped off here. We use about 5,400 gallons a month. So I would say just a little bit over, 1,200 gallons a week.
1,200 gallons a week. And we've got about, what is it, 6 weeks left between now and the end of the bid? The end of the contract?
I'd say it's closer to 8 weeks, correct?
8 weeks. Okay, 8 weeks. So that means you're going to need about 9,600 gallons of fuel to get you through the next 8 weeks, not counting whatever you have in the tank. So let's say what's in the tank is a reserve. And you're using, or at least based upon your estimates of $1,200 a week, you're going to be needing about $9,600 in fuel. If my math is correct, you're looking for an additional $37,500 based upon, this is dollars, based upon $3.60 a gallon, you're pretty close. That comes out to about 10,400 gallons. Is that how you came about coming up with this number of 37,500?
That's correct. Yeah, I took the about 5,400 gallons a month for the next 2 months, and that calculates out to just over $35,000 over the next 2 months. So we were trying to get as close as we could to what we thought we were going to use.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that I was on track with that. And how much is left in your budget for fuel right now?
$37,500. Yeah, we're gonna need to transfer money into diesel fuel to get us from April to the end of the fiscal year.
Okay. Got it.
It wasn't planned out that way, but it worked out. It worked out conveniently for this bid, but not for the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, Chief. Chairman, that's the questions I have on that item.
Okay, Councilman, thank you. Are there any other further comments or questions from members of the committee? Members of the committee, thank you. Are there any further questions or comments from members of the council on bid 2021-240 Bravo? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Seeing none, we'll move on. Thank you, Chief. Well done. Thanks for being proactive on this. Item bid number 9 is 2022-322. That is found on page 62.
Okay.
Sorry. Scrolling up. Yeah, I'm sorry, Councilman. I apologize. Go ahead. You're all set. Thank you. Greenwood Emergency Vehicles.
Just a couple of quick questions on this one, Chief. I understand what's going on. This Reserve Rescue 14, how old is that vehicle?
It's I believe it's a 2013, 2014. It was a used vehicle that we actually picked up from the East Greenwich Fire Department. When they got their new one, this was a good shape reserve, and we had purchased it used from East Greenwich as a reserve truck initially. That was the intent of this truck. But okay. When Rescue 3 went down permanently, this has been running as frontline as Rescue 3 for over a year now.
Okay, thank you for that. And you just answered my follow-up question, which was going to be, why didn't it include that option in the first place? You just answered that, thank you.
I've been doing this a long time.
On the... with our other rescue units, do they have this option as well?
They do. So this option is spec'd in every new truck since Rescue 1, so about 2015. This truck had it spec'd in. When it was put out of service permanently, it's a $25,000 piece of equipment. It was sitting in a truck that wasn't being used. So we made a decision to take it out of that truck and have it put into the reserve truck, which obviously was bought back in 2013 originally by East Greenwich. They obviously did not have it put in the truck at the time. So we made the decision to move it from one truck to the other.
And how many miles on that rescue now, Rescue Reserve 14?
Jeez, I wasn't prepared for that one. I can look it up for you. Give me 1 second.
Sure. It at least you just made me feel better, Chief. At least I'm seeing that, you know, my questions are not always predictable.
Yeah, I had most of them, but this one got me. Rescue 14, it's a 2013. As of this week, 194,000 miles on that truck.
Okay. And you feel that this is a vehicle that we're going to be having in service for some reasonable foreseeable future?
It'll be at least in service until we get the two new rescues. So one of those two new rescues will be replacing Rescue 3's vehicle because they obviously don't have a vehicle now. So when that becomes replaced, that is coming in with a power load in it. So this truck will then go back to reserve status, and having a reserve truck with a power load in it is a very nice thing to have for those guys working on the rescue.
Okay.
And it's not worth the money.
I know. I understand we're talking, you know, relatively short dollars, but I still like to have some of these questions clarified in my mind. Rescue 3, it's permanently out of service now. So is there any value to this vehicle? Is this something that we can sell or we can cannibalize for parts or other equipment? Can we use it for anything?
It is currently our cannibalized truck at DPW. So it is in DPW's yard, and I believe the whole rear end of it's been taken off. And I believe multiple doors and handles and things like that. So it's been pretty severely cannibalized already by DPW because it does match a lot of our other trucks.
Good. You just answered another question I didn't have to ask, what that vehicle was at DPW. That's all the questions I have in that item. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions or comments from members of the committee? Further comments or questions from members of the council? Further comments, questions, members of the public? Members of the public. Thank you, Chief. Next, we'll discuss item number 10, which is bid 2022-314. That is found on page 66. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Chrissy.
Hello.
So, Chrissy, we have five different line items here that you're calling to draw from or add to, I guess. How did you decide on the monetary amounts for each of those individual items?
Well, building maintenance carries the most load for repairs because they service pretty much every city building with their budget code, as far as those kinds of services. Thayer and Warburton have their own budget code for that building. And then field maintenance has a budget code for, they have a smaller amount of buildings, but still buildings nonetheless. So that's why it's broken down the way it is. So that way each department, if they have a need, has the spending authority to have whatever fixed.
Okay, and this is an increase over.
This is a brand new piggyback through the state.
Okay.
This is for electrical services. So anything that we can't do in-house, we will have someone on. We've done work with this company a lot and they've been very good to us, very responsive. I've had no issues with them.
Okay.
And they're in Warwick.
I'm sorry?
I said, and they're in Warwick.
Oh, yeah, right. I saw that. So the rates, I'm looking at the rates that are in here. No, never mind. That's my next item.
I was going to say.
Okay. I'm all set. That's my next item. That one's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Christy.
You got me too, Christy. I was looking through this like, okay, rates. What did I miss?
Well, I flipped the page and I was like, that's a different one.
That's all right. That's what I do.
Any members from the committee? Any members from the committee? Members of the council? Any follow-up questions from members of the council? Any follow-up questions from members of the public? Members of the public. Thank you. The next item is going to be item number at request of Councilman Latisor to be discussed is item on number 11, bid 2022-291 Alpha, found on page 69. Councilman Latisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Christy, first question is, typically you don't seem to have a problem getting people to bid on these doors. Did anyone contact any of the other bidders and find out why they, or ask why they didn't bid?
No.
I did. I did not receive an answer back yet. One said that they would have to research as to why they didn't bid. So I thought I might have some updated information tonight, but I don't. And apparently you don't have any either. So the bigger question is, at what point does the overtime rate kick in for Payless garage doors? Is it 30 hours, 40 hours, 50 hours? At what point does overtime kick in?
Overtime would be anything after hours. So anything after a normal work day, 8 to 4. So if we had something that needed to be addressed at 7 o'clock at night, that would be considered overtime. Honestly, I don't think it's ever happened, but we do include that just in the event of, because we do, as you know, during snowstorms and on the weekends, we do have buildings with overhead doors that could potentially break. So we need to be able to have them fixed. Just in the DPW area alone, we have 28 overhead doors.
I'm not questioning or disputing the need for this, but I just want to be certain that we don't have additional charges that we're not expecting. So the reasoning for my question is, in my world, overtime is anything over 40 hours. That's why I asked the question, how do they clarify or classify overtime? Because overtime is 1.5 times the rate of regular time. Now, some people might be sitting there saying, why is he questioning this? Because this bid, based upon the private sector, is 1.5 over 40 hours. And that doesn't compute to what they have. So that's why I'm asking these questions, to clarify on the record that their hourly rate isn't really based on overtime as we know it by the Department of Labor. It's based upon a call that they received after their normal work hours. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, so then we are not paying overtime per se, because overtime on $115 an hour wouldn't translate into $135. It would translate into $172.50. And at $185, it wouldn't translate into $195. It would translate into $277.50. So for the record, we actually are not paying 1.5 overtime as we know it in the private sector. We're paying for additional labor costs after hours. And that number is locked in, or will be locked in if this is approved, at $135 per hour for one technician and $195 for two technicians.
So if I called this company in to fix an overhead door in between 8 and 4, let's say it would be $115 an hour with one technician. This company in at 7 o'clock at night needing a door fix, when they bill, it should be $130. That's their overtime rate for us after hours is what it is. And I actually think the bid states the hours, the bid itself states the hours after, you know, whatever time of day.
Okay. So again, it appears as though it's an after hours rate as opposed to an overtime rate. So I just want to be certain that regardless of how many hours their employees put in a week, could be 40, could be 60, we are not going to be charged anything higher for an after hours call or a weekend call or holiday call beyond what I see here on these numbers.
Right.
Okay. Those are things I had on that, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted the record to reflect that so there wouldn't be any question later on. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further comments or discussion from members of the committee? Members of the council, any questions or comments from members of the council? Question, comments from members of the public? Question, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Councilman. The next item will be item number 15, bid 2021-134, found on page 82. This was requested and will be opened with discussion with Councilman Lattiser. Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you, Chairman. So we have two invoices here in our packages. And one of them, the invoice date is January 5th, 2022. When was the actual delivery made of that heating oil?
January 5th.
So the invoice date is the date of delivery?
Yes, they generated the same day.
Okay. The next one is on 11/3/21, which it was due on December 3rd. So why wasn't it paid on December 3rd? Or by December 3rd? Why is it coming to us 2 months late?
This bill wasn't, we didn't receive it. It actually came in right around the same time as the one for January. So it must have been an oversight on both ends where I didn't realize that it didn't come in and they hadn't sent it out. So in order, and we did receive the delivery. There's no disputing that. So in order to rectify it, and obviously we went over the bid spending authority, that's why we're asking to pay both of these now.
So they didn't send us a bill for 2 months.
Right.
I'd like to do business with a company like that.
Well, unfortunately, I think it's probably a combination of things. I know they had some personnel turnover there, as well as like everywhere else, they have people out sick. So I think that's in part what happened. And then on my end, I'm the one that scheduled delivery. I'm the one that called for it, but I didn't realize that the bill didn't come through.
In our package, it says that the bidder had the lowest increment of 0.0715 above the Opus daily posted price. So at the time of these two deliveries, one delivery on November 3rd, 21, the other delivery on January 5th, 2022, what was the Opus price at that time?
It would be, on the 11-1, I'm sorry, 11-3, it would have been, bear with me 1 second.
$2.418. And where did that number come from?
So what you do is you take, so the increment is the increment, regardless of when the delivery is made.
I understand.
It's much like, it's actually not, it's exactly like the diesel and unleaded fuel. I get a document every day that shows the posted price. We take that posted price and we add this increment to it, that 0.0715. And that's how we get what we should be paying per gallon for that day's delivery. Obviously, it fluctuates from day to day. So the one that was delivered on 1/5 is $2.37.
Okay. My question, where are you getting that number from?
If you take the unit price per gallon, that 2.4415.
No, I know how to do the math, but I can subtract, you know, the 17 cents or 7 cents, whatever it is, from that number, but that's not giving me the answer to my question. I can do the math. I want to know what was the posted OPIS price on that date, not doing the math of subtracting 7 cents from 2.48 or 2.44.
It's 237, 2.37 on 1.5, because then we add the increment to it, which makes it come out to the unit price of 2.4415.
Councilman, are you asking what the document is that she's getting that original number from?
Yeah, I'm asking, where is this document that showing the OPIS price? I want to be able to go to a site that shows what the OPIS price was on January 5th and on November 3rd.
Okay, excuse me, I'm going to interject for 1 second. I just want to identify that the Director Eric Earls from DPW jumped in. And Director Earls, you can go ahead and try to answer that question. Thank you.
Actually, I'll let Christy do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that document is a subscription that we pay for, that DPW pays for. We disseminate it to police, fire, and sewer, so everyone gets the same document. It is not something that's publicly posted. So I get every day that there is fuel, and it whether we get it or not, I get an email with the documents associated to what the posted price was for, you know, up and down the New England, up and down the East Coast. So it's not just specific to our location. We have to go look for it and, you know, do the math and whatnot. But, and I think I may have also explained this when I had requested the award for the new heating oil bid. I think we had a similar conversation about this and where the document comes from. So it's something that's paid for by the city that we, otherwise we wouldn't get it.
Right. And for those who may not know what that acronym means, it means Oil Price Information Service. And that's an agency that, you know, is posting these daily prices as they fluctuate from day to day. So that's how we're gonna get to the math of the cost above to be able to tell us what the price is we should be paying. And Christy, you just confirmed that if I chase down this OPI price for January 5th, it's gonna show me a cost, it's gonna show me an OPI price of $2.37 a gallon. And on November 3rd, it's gonna show me a price of $2.41 a gallon.
Right. 2.41,
whatever. And that's interesting because home heating oil is kind of essentially like diesel fuel. And it's interesting that we just heard a bid approved or was discussed because the cost of diesel fuel is increasing. But yet our cost on home heating fuel, which is technically diesel fuel, not colored, is actually decreasing.
Well, I can tell you that I received an invoice today for a delivery that we had last week. I think it was last week or the end of the week before. And I haven't verified the price on it, but the unit price per gallon on that bill was $279.8 something. So it has gone up substantially.
Now, that bill that you talked about, they just got, that's in this year's budget, right?
Correct.
Do we have the monies for that?
Yeah, it's not part of this bid. That bill's on the new bid, but there is money in the budget to pay for it, yes. And that was 2,500 gallons, so.
And where was that for?
Holden.
Need to close that building, huh? So these two invoices that are coming to us now, those are invoices, one you just received, the other one was back in November, and you need extra money for those two invoices. This invoice you just spoke about now for another 2,500 gallons at $279 a gallon or whatever the number was, is that something that's in your budget? or are you going to have to come back to us for monies for that as well?
No, I have the money in the budget for all of these expenses. Okay. It's just that these two bills are before you tonight because we overspent on our spending authority to keep the building heated.
Okay. And this contract period actually expired on January 14th, is that right?
Correct. For these invoices.
Okay. That's where the over budget comes into.
Overspending, yes.
Overspending, sorry, yes. Well, same difference. Okay. That's all I have on this one, Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions for members of the committee? Question comments from members of the council? Question comments from members of the public? Question comments from members of the public? Christy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director. All right, the final item that was pulled by Councilman Lattiser for discussion was item number 18. It's bid 2022-320, found on page 100. It is GASB 75 OPEB Actuarial Services for $15,000. Councilman Lattiser, your discussion.
Thank you, Chair. There's too many twos in all these bids, and this kind of like gets us tongue-tied, you know what I mean?
True.
Hello, Director, how are you?
Good.
Good. So, Peter, I understand what you're saying here. This is a notice in compliance city ordinance 56-6, blah, 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 not going out for bid. Why isn't it going out for bid? Why wouldn't we have a new set of eyes taking a look at this?
Well, we've had someone else doing it. And the problem has been that all they want to do is give you a number. That's all we contracted for. And it went through the council approved the vendor. And what I want is to try to get a grip on all of our post-employment liabilities, both pension and OPEB. And I've had some conversations with him already, and I'm excited about the results that we may get. He's got some great ideas. He knows the back and forth of all our pension liabilities. And we've got four different pension plans, the old fire and police one, fire two, police two, and the municipal plan. He looks at a lot of the same data that the OPEB actuary was collecting. So he's got a lot of that data. He's looked at the report, or the firm has looked at the report. He's working on it with someone else. The report that the previous firm had done. And if you look at the audit, that I sent you a week or so ago, you'll see a footnote that the old firm did, and he's fine with the footnote, but they don't have access to all the pension information that he has. And he's got some good ideas, which I hope will be incorporated in the budget in May to really try to address this problem long-term.
Something else that's caught my attention here is you've come to us with a 56-6.
Yeah.
But yet, this was the subject of a debate, as it's in your position paper at the budget hearings last May. Why is this delay of like 8 months or 9 months been, or why is this delay taking place to come to us now with this, 56-6 thing that, we got to do it?
Well, we were under contract with this other firm through the report that was part of the fiscal year 21 audit. Their four-year contract has expired. So then I had to get, I had to decide what to do next. And, the audit just came out. Now he's going to be relying on the actuarial study that the previous firm did for purposes of
business. Firm, Peter, sorry to interrupt you. Who's the previous firm?
Oh, boy. Is Pat on? I just, I deal with a woman, and Lynn and I deal with a woman named Andrea Andolfi, but I can't, it's Metzger and something or other. They were the low bid 4 years ago. I just don't remember. They specialize in this kind of thing. They've been easy to deal with, but they're not really ready, able, and willing to give you advice on a long-term plan to deal with the problem.
Yeah, I recognize Metzger, and it's Metzger and something else.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, several years ago, I spent quite a bit of time with them getting numbers that I needed. So further down in your position paper, 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs, you go on to say that GRS has been the city's pension actuary for over 25 years, et cetera, et cetera. They have assisted in the city in construction pension funding plans and advising the city on negotiating benefits, blah, blah, blah. It says they already collect from the city most of the information. Who collects the remainder of the information?
Well, they didn't collect a lot of the health benefit information, which is what they will now have to collect. The former actuary was collecting the health benefit information, but the number of retirees, all that kind of thing, GRS has all that information and collects it on an annual basis through the personnel office.
Okay, all right, good. So that clears that up. The next highlight I have here is further down. It says, this is especially true now because of the extraordinary investment gains this year and the improved funding levels of the three active pension plans. The question I have, I think I'll reach out to you personally on it, Peter, because I don't think it's probably appropriate in this current forum. But I have, I've got some questions about that. So I'll just contact you.
All right, fine.
At another time. Chairman, that's all I have for now. Thank you, Peter, for answering those questions.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thanks, Director Schaefer. So I just had a couple of questions. So you mentioned GRS has been working with us on the pension actuary work. Are they doing this healthcare GASB actuary work for other municipalities? Is it?
I don't know about that, but they're doing both for the state. They are the actuary for the state, both for pension and for OPEB liabilities.
Okay, so you feel comfortable that this
absolutely
increased scope of work is within.
You know, it was one of those things 4 years ago when we went out to bid. They were on the list, but it went to the Indianapolis office instead of the Irving, Texas office, and he didn't get a chance to bid on it. So, and I don't think they would have been low bidder because we're talking full FSAs with full certification responsibilities. So I'm happy that this fellow who the city's been dealing with for 20 years, and we dealt with his predecessor, who I dealt with 20 before that, will be helpful.
Okay. And I know this didn't go to bid, so we don't have a detailed specification of what you're looking for, but can you just talk to us? You've talked to us over the last few months about sort of increased responsibilities and increased work product you'd like to see out of a replacement audit firm. So is there some scope of work or some documentation of work product that you're expecting from them around this?
Yeah, well, I think I said, and they're going to be doing what the other firm did. And I think we paid the other firm $5,900 over the 2 years. Mm-hmm. But Joe Newton, the lead actuary, and his associates are going to be helping us structure a plan to merge the two liabilities and come up with a plan, an OPEB plan over a period of years that will forthrightly address the liabilities that are on the books. And that's the part that the current firm really couldn't do, partly because that's not their expertise, partly they don't have the information on the pension liabilities.
Got it. Yeah, it seems to make a lot of sense to have sort of one holistic, you know, it doesn't make any sense to have 100% funded pensions and 0% funded, you know, medical liability.
Right on target, right on target with that.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. And then I'm assuming as part of the fees that we pay them, that will include, you know, presentations that they make to the council. Yes. and reports that'll be available.
Yes. For and them. We've been talking about that. He did not make it here over the last year or so because of the pandemic. We've talked about dates that might coincide, Councilman Howe, with retirement board meetings as well, because they have direct responsibility, and we haven't come up with an exact date yet, but that's definitely planned.
Okay.
And he also comes to present to the state retirement board. We've talked about trying to merge the two. That's probably not possible, but it could be.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. That's very helpful. Appreciate it. Good work.
Good questions. Thank you, Councilman. I see any other members of the committee? Any members of the council? I see that Councilman Ricks and Councilman Lattiser. Councilman Lattiser already opened up the conversation, so I'm going to go to Councilman Ricks. Thank you.
Thank you. This line item, the hiring of this firm, would they also be providing us with a five-year plan?
Well, that's absolutely the plan. The plan will be long-term. You know, one of the things that happened back in May was, what is the right amount? And we had a debate about that. I don't know what the right amount is. And the right amount is a long-term right amount, not the right amount in any particular year. And there are things going on with our pension plans that gives us some window in certain years. And that's, you will certainly see a long-term plan to address the liabilities with their assistance, with their professional guidance.
I'm glad to hear that. I know the last 5 year we had was, I believe that it was presented in August 2019. It had actually projected the need to increase taxes by 3% a year out into the future, including the years in which we had our 0% tax increases. And so that's a point of some concern about our long-term financial state. The other question I had is, when it comes to getting this long-term plan in order, are we going to be able to see that before the budget hearings, before the final meetings, when we're considering prospective bonds to be authorized for the ballot?
I would expect so. As I said, I would like to get GRS here. They're ready to come once we've got a plan together. And I would say that it's likely that, well, we may have some ordinance changes to address this. So, and that would have to be independent of the budget process. Not to say that whatever we're comfortable with won't be rolled into the budget, but I think that's two separate things.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Council, anyone else before I go to Councilman Lattiser, or anyone else from the council? Councilman Lattiser, you're up. You're muted. You're muted, Council.
Sorry. Councilman Ricks kind of touched on what I wanted in the first place, but I'll just echo on him that I certainly, I'm very hopeful that we're going to get a presentation by GRS before we have to vote on a budget and before we have to make considerations for other things, because if we don't know how we're going to pay for things and where the money is going to come from to pay for these things, I don't know how we can vote on. And as Councilman Rick said, I'm happy to hear that Director, you're planning on getting a 5-year projection for us, because I think that's extremely important, particularly with the increased spending that, you know, we've been doing and may continue to do. You can't get there if you don't have the directions. So I'll be looking forward to seeing that presentation, hearing that presentation from GRS before the budget hearings. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any final discussion from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Question, comments from members of the public? Sorry about that. That was the final item on the council bid package. May I have a motion to on the consent calendar?
Move favorable action.
Motion for favorable action or second?
I have a motion. I have a favorable and second. May all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Moving on to the Finance Committee agenda. May I have a motion to accept the minutes from the January 19th, 2022 meeting?
So moved.
Well, I have a motion, second, all in favor? Aye. Thank you. I'd like to remind everyone just that at 7 o'clock, we will be discussing and hearing the presentation for the, school application will be at 7 o'clock tonight. So 7 o'clock this evening, the school application will be happening tonight. Next, we will be discussing PCR 23-22 resolution relative to abatements. I saw Mr. Dupuis. Neil?
Yes, I'm here, Chairman. Okay. The video is not showing due to the host, but.
No worries.
You know what you look like anyway, so.
Yep, you have the floor.
Okay. So this month we have abatements for you of $3,779.10. And there's nothing unusual in these abatements, but if you got any questions, I'll answer them.
Are there any questions or comments from members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Just one. Can you take us through the large one? Board of review.
Okay, so this was a Board of Assessment review, so I can't really, it's not my abatement, it's the board's abatement, but the history of it is there was a cleaners that went out of business and the real estate owner got left holding the equipment. So it was taxed to them, which is Mr. Pantelikas. He had to go to court to get title in order to be able to do anything with the property. And once the court ordered that, they also assigned a value to it. So the board reduced the assessment, not quite to the amount the court came up with, but the property owner was acceptable to that figure.
Okay, got it. Cool, that's all I got, thanks.
Thanks, Councilman. Members of the council, questions from members of the public? Members of the public. Okay, hearing none, thank you, Neil. May I have a motion for favorable action?
So moved.
Second. I have a motion for PCR 23-22 in a second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 6:04 p.m. and the Finance Committee is closed.